Welcome back, everyone, to Boxbox Podcast. I'm sorry we took a week off. I took a week off. But we are back after Barcelona. We're not going to talk about Monaco, don't worry. I'm sure some of you have just woken up from it anyway. But yeah, it's good to be back. I'm glad that you're joining us. Whether you're listening to us or watching us, do make sure, if you're watching us, give us a thumbs up. Subscribe if you're new around here, and do comment if you agree or disagree with anything that we say, or you have any interesting points for us to use next week. If you're listening to us, then do make sure you give us a 5-star rating, because it really does make a difference to the podcast, and we really do appreciate it. While we're here, we should also say we are Boxbox Club powered. No, we are Boxbox Pod powered by Boxbox Club. So there is an exclusive offer for you guys if any of you want to download the Ultimate F1 Widgets app. The link is in the description. And yeah, you can get yourself a 30% discount code off the Ultra subscription, okay? Using BoxBoxPod30, maybe? It's in the description. Either way, use our link, get a discount, and yeah, check it out, because it really is the coolest F1 widget app out there, and we love it. They're our mates, and yeah, we're super grateful for everything they do with us. And yeah, it is also free if you just want to try it out. You know, you might not want to commit to an Ultra subscription without trying, rightfully so. It's free to download and to try, so go to the App Store or the Google Play Store or whatever store. I think that's probably the only two places they are at. The Android store, I don't know. And try it out, because it's sick and it will revolutionize your device into an F1 widget monster. I don't know what I'm saying now, but it's cool. Anyway. We are back. We are officially back.
Yeah, nice of you to join us.
Yep. Well, I was in Italy last week. And like I said, it was really annoying. I wish I was there the week before.
Then
I could have caught a train to Imola, gone and watched the race. But yeah, I was there for the Monaco Grand Prix, and oh, that reminds me. Oh, I don't want to jinx it. No, I can say it. It's not 100% yet, because the invites haven't been sent out, but I've been told that I should be getting an invite to something, I don't know what, to do with McLaren F1.
Nice.
I have no idea what it is. That's also not why I'm wearing the hat. This is not a propaganda show. It's just by chance, but I was just telling my parents about it, and then I just remembered.
Do you see, this is the thing, right? So now Luke's now an influencer, so he now starts posting on TikTok, you know, Instagram. But this one thing you have to realise, guys, it's a Luke thing. Luke will go to all these things, and I'll just be in the background, you know, maybe, you know, just sitting there. You know, see all those memes in the
Matt's
background.
Matt's the sort of guy that thinks if his mate wins the lottery, he should have won it as well.
We do a podcast together.
I can't help.
You don't see the other guys from who do podcasts together going just one individually, do you? No, they come as a pair.
I'll counter this. Waffling. You see Joe and Theo getting invited everywhere.
Yeah, but they go on holiday without you. Come on, move on from that.
You're me. You're the me of BoxBox.
There's only two of us.
Well, I know, it's bad. But no, I don't. They haven't said if I get any plus ones or anything.
It still wouldn't be me.
Nah, I'd see if Glenn was busy, but if he wasn't, then I'd ask Ruth. And if she was busy, then I'd probably ask you.
You're such an ass.
Oh. But that could be quite cool, and I will go and I'll vlog it. It'll be part of something. Nice.
Well, and put it on your...
On my own personal.
Oh, yeah, your personal. Exactly. Right, welcome along, everyone. It is BoxBox. Oh, you weren't here last week. Big news for you. Have I told you I'm doing a marathon this year?
Actually, we've got to kill this joke. Well, I mean, in fairness, you've already killed it.
Yeah. Right, let's move on.
You're beating a dead horse.
Yes.
Is that a saying? Where's that come from?
Why do you want to beat a dead horse?
I'm sure it's a saying.
Okay, let's move on from that. Right, Barcelona.
How would you beat a dead horse? That's my question.
Let's move on from that. Right, that's Barcelona. I actually enjoyed it. It started off very good. Had a bit of a quiet period. The end of the race got juicy.
I'd say it was one of those 6 out of 10 races.
Yes.
Which, not bad. It had its moments. It had its quiet moments. That is racing.
And then it came alive again.
Yeah, then it did come
final
alive.
Final six races came alive.
And Max Verstappen tried unaliving a certain individual.
Right. We'll get on to Max in a minute, okay? But we'll do what we normally do on the show, and we'll go through each team. We'll talk about their weekends. You guys at home, if you're watching on YouTube, do drop a comment and let us know what your thoughts are. If you're listening on audio, then also just drop a comment. You can actually drop a comment on Spotify, so do that. Where would you like to start today? What team would you like to start with?
Do you know what? I think we should start with this team because normally we brush them out the way.
Okay.
Because they're having a terrible season, but it's expected they're going to have a terrible season. There's a new project coming. That's what they're focusing on. Today was not a terrible day for Sauber.
Outstanding.
Yeah.
All round a solid weekend. You know, you look at qualifying, Bortoleto out-qualified Hülkenberg, his best qualifying of the year, mm-hmm. P12, Hülkenberg in P16. You come to today's race and I don't know what Hülkenberg was driving today, but
he had his Weetabix.
He was on it today, and it was great. A P5 for him, overtaking a Ferrari. Okay. As Lewis fans, it hurt a bit.
Yeah, we'll talk about that when we get onto the Ferrari stuff, but fair play, Nico Hülkenberg. But that hurt.
You know, when you look at it, Hülkenberg, we've always said, he would easily go into a top team as a second driver.
Yep.
Easily. We've always said that actually we think he's a phenomenal driver, and for Stake to actually get him this year, that is it was a massive move for them, because he's shown again today the quality he has. To pick up 10 points...
I always call them Sauber, don't I?
Yeah, Stake, Sauber, whichever. We all know what you mean. To pick up 10 points today, to take, you know, Stake from P10 in the constructors to P8. You know, they're on 16 points now.
It's a mega points haul. Like, it is crazy.
So, you know, Hülkenberg, phenomenal. Bortoleto, I know he finished P12, but he was yo-yoing up and down that grid today.
Yeah, well, it was a strange one across the board in terms of pit stops. I don't think anyone truly knew when the best time to pit was.
No.
You know, how strong the undercut was and...
You know, one point, Gasly, for example, was, you know, I know he finished, P8 today, but he was down in P17, he was P11, P14, P8, he was all over the place.
Yeah, no, and it was, you know, it was crazy. You had Max Verstappen on, like, a different strategy to everyone at the front, then you had Lewis Hamilton kind of in between those, and you had Charles Leclerc, who obviously had the two fresh mediums. Yeah. You had... The McLarens were working slightly different to each other. It was a confusing race in terms of strategy because there was so much going on.
Yeah. But I think, you know, if you're staking, you're looking at that, you're going to be very, very happy leaving Spain because...
Oh, they'll be hitting the bars tonight.
You know, they beat a Ferrari. They beat both RBs. They beat both Alpines.
And I think, importantly, on the Ferrari thing, they didn't even beat a Ferrari on a technicality. It wasn't... Oh, well, we got lucky with the safety car and therefore we ended up in front of, you know, Lewis, who got held up through a dodgy pit stop, which meant he came out far back and he just couldn't overtake us. No. Nico Hülkenberg overtook him on track. It was, like I say, devastating to watch. But I actually really like Hülkenberg. And so it was hard to be unhappy for him. I was gassed for him and I thought, yeah, that's just what that team needs because, you know, we said it here for all season. This is going to be a rough year for them because we know what the bigger picture is. But, yeah, a great weekend. And I think they are, like I said, they're going to be hitting the bars in Barca tonight.
No, I really, really impressed with them, really happy for them because I think last year, when you look at it, they went through a very, very tough year. With Joao and Bottas, it was a very, very tough year.
You sound like you're going to cry every time
I say
that.
I know. I just don't want to.
Doesn't want to talk about it.
Let's move on, okay? But to come into this year and to already be on 16 points after 9 races is phenomenal. And
I don't think anyone. I didn't expect this year to be better for them.
No.
Like I thought, okay, well, you've got a really nice driver partnership, but. I was expecting worse than last year. Not from the drivers, from the car and the output of the team.
I kind of felt like they weren't going to really put much effort into it. Yeah. Focus on 2026.
Rightfully so, by the way.
Yep. But no, very impressive. Bortoletto again, and I know we say this week in, week out, it's slowly but surely just starting to get better. He was very racy today. He was very on it, some good overtakes. And he was unlucky actually not to even get a P10.
And he's not damaging the car. No. He's bringing it home. He's showing improvement. It's gradual. He had a great qualifying this week. I think, like I said, Sauber, for me, this is a 9 out of 10 weekend for Sauber. 100%. I think 10 out of 10 would have been both of them getting points. Yeah, yeah. But this is, all relative, that's a 9 out of 10 weekend.
Yeah. And let's just put it into perspective. Hülkenberg beat both Red Bulls today. Bit of a technicality, but...
Yeah.
Both Red Bulls, both Hasses, both Alpines...
A Ferrari.
Both RBs, a Ferrari. Yeah. Very, very impressive weekend.
Which he overtook on track.
Yes. Do let us know what your thoughts are on stake. Where do you want to go next?
Well, let's cover the Aston Martins, because we've only got one team to talk about.
Do you mean one driver?
I mean one driver. Yeah. And that is obviously Fernando Alonso. Lance Stroll.
Have you heard the rumours about Lance Stroll?
I have heard the rumours, and you're going to want to tune in for these, all right?
Like, let me find it, because...
Can I just say, initially, I thought... He just wants another day off. I knew it. But then I did see these rumours floating about on Twitter, obviously. So not going to say...
Reliable source.
That's why we are heavily, heavily using the word rumour.
Yeah. Do you want me to... Again, this is what came out. It has emerged on Sunday morning that Stroll lost his temper in the garage after being knocked out at the end of Q2, in which he lapped... half a second slower than teammate Fernando Alonso. Word was going around the paddock that Lance Stroll had broken things in the garage and sworn at team members. Asked about this, a team spokesman said Lance was upset. The spokesperson said that the loss of temper and the injury were unrelated. Like, I really don't know whether that is true or not.
But here's what I thought when I read that. It was less about... I thought it's actually probably true that the loss of temper and injury are unrelated, but it is making me think, is the injury actually a thing? I know he fell off his bike. I know, I'm sure he's got lasting stuff, but to me, that seems too coincidental. You're telling me that Lance Stroll all of a sudden gets to this weekend and an injury in his hand is too bad that he can't carry on. He's got to have immediate surgery. He can't race today. After an incident that happened, you know...
2023.
Well over a year ago. And don't get me wrong, like I say, what I'm not saying here is that Lance Stroll isn't experiencing anything with his hands. But I'm saying, isn't it a bit suspect that the day after he loses his temper, smashes things up in the garage, allegedly, this is rumours, but it was from like BBC, was it not?
I can't find it now. It was from...
What seemed a reputable source. Mm. And all of a sudden, he's got a dip off for this emergency surgery. That, to me, actually sounds like there's more to this than we're being told.
Because initially my thoughts was, well, actually, if you've known about this and he's been struggling for the last few weeks with it...
Don't enter him in the weekend.
Yeah. You know, your best bet would be pull him out, get him the surgery that he needs or whatever, bring in Drugovic, give him an opportunity... Because, you know, a lot of people were asking, well, why can't they just bring someone in? Just to put it into context, you actually have to at least do a qualifying lap. You need to prove to the FIA that you are on par with the laps around the other drivers to be able to enter yourself into a race weekend. And that's what my initial reaction was. But then all of a sudden I saw this, that, you know, because this came out, what, the news broke about 5 hours after qualifying?
Yeah.
And I thought to myself, this is a bit weird. Like, I've never... Lance Stroll isn't someone who I expect to go and smash things up. He's not some like type of character who I would expect to go...
Do you know what? Part of me thinks he actually probably is.
Really?
I just think... And I could be, by the way, like, completely wrong. Because I have no idea what he's like. But obviously, what I think of when I think of Lance Stroll is spoiled rich kid billionaire. Do you know what I mean?
Mm.
So I actually think, you know, you hear him come on the radio how he talks, and you know, I think sometimes he's disrespectful to his engineer. I think sometimes there's like a total lack of respect for the team, and you know, okay, I know it's not gone right for Aston Martin, but there are still people back at the factory working hour upon hour upon hour to try and get that car right, or whether they're working on next year now, like, it's irrelevant. They're all working really hard, and I feel like he does disrespect that quite a lot. And I think when I heard this story, I thought, actually, I kind of can imagine it.
But on the other hand, the bit that confuses me is we see very little emotion. Like, you've got to remember, Lance Stroll holds the record for the most Q1 knockouts, okay? Getting into Q2 this weekend, if anything, he should be, it's like jubilation. Like, you're like, wow, yes.
That doesn't happen
often. Yes, lads, we're in Q2 and not going out in Q1. So you would think that he'd be used to going out. So why now would he lose his shit and start smashing the place up? Do you see what I mean? I'm trying to look at it.
I get it.
At the end of the day, we don't know if this is true or not. Nothing has actually come out.
I like to think it is. I like to think Lance hopped out the car and just started smashing the gaff up. Like, I think that would be quite funny. But
flipped the car.
Yeah. It would be quite funny throwing tyres at people. But it is. I get your point, but for me, it actually is believable. Not to that extent. He was, you know, fucking throwing helmets at people. But I think it's a plausible story. Like, I can see that anger inside him because, like I say, billionaire dad, rich kid upbringing, spoil, you know, the whole dynamic of like, oh, my dad owns this team. Like, it's that thing of like ultimate power. Like, you would never get that from even a Max Verstappen. Mm. He would never go to that extent because I think...
We wouldn't do anything in the garage. He would just do it on track and take someone out.
Yeah. We will get to that.
Yep.
And I just think it's that entitlement that I think Lance probably has been afforded.
Okay, so say it is true.
Yeah.
Okay. As we know, we're just speculating. Say it's true. Where does Stroll go from here? Because if it is also true that he's going to have surgery, he could potentially be out for... He could miss Canada, and we don't know. But say they've used that as an excuse, and actually the reason why he's not racing is more of a internal issue, you know, from throwing tyres and all of that stuff. Where does that leave Lance Stroll?
Well, I mean, I'm not being funny. It shouldn't have got to the point where it was an internal issue that got him off track. They could have just looked at his on-track performance. I know what you're going to say. Oh, I love Lance Stroll, and he's got more points than Fernando Alonso this season. If that is your argument, you just don't get it. And that's fine. You don't have to. I understand. We're all fans.
Look, Lance Stroll has carried this team this year.
Like, do you know what I mean? When people say that, I know there's an argument to be had there, but still, at any point right now, if you're taking him over Fernando Alonso, only God can help you. I don't think he should have got to this. But it does seem like to me this is more a thing of actually something really has gone on here and we need to get him out. But what we don't want to do is drop him in it because obviously he's going to be protected from above. But I think maybe his dad's even looked at him and been like, this is too far now. You can't behave like that. And they've just moved him out. It's very likely temporary, but I feel like more is going to come out about this story.
Mm. If it's not true and it is the fact that he's having surgery, you know, speedy recovery and all of that. So,
well, we're just speculating anyway. Do you know what I mean? What do you want us to say? Like, oh, Lance Stroll has hurt his hand and is getting surgery next. Like,
okay, what's next? No, I'm joking.
It's entirely possible. All these scenarios. Lance Stroll may have actually been abducted by aliens last night and they don't know how to tell us.
Now, that would be a cool story.
Maybe he performed a hit and run on a dog and he's been arrested.
Oh, no. Is the dog all right?
No. Dead.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Yeah, no, really bad. So, you know...
What type of dog?
Huh?
What type of dog was it?
It's a Labrador.
Is that the only dog you know?
It's just the first one I thought of.
What is going on in this episode?
No, but you know what I mean? Like, they could... Anything could have happened, is what I'm saying. I think to me, it does all seem a little bit suspect with this story breaking out. I think had this story not have come out, I would have thought nothing of it.
No.
But with that coming out, that I just think the timing is a little bit weird.
Mm. And also I find it weird that, you know, they've known he struggled for a while. So why bring him into a race weekend when we know that the risk of him not being able to complete it would be so high?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You know, they're not idiots. They've got a lot of very, very knowledgeable people around these guys all of the time. And
we said back in 2023 when he had his incident before the season started, and within 2 weeks
he came back and he raced.
Phenomenal. Like, that must have been awful for him.
But crazy. Like, who the fuck makes someone do that?
It would take 6 months off.
Yeah. I broke my wrist. I mean, I got straight back to work. And mine was actually
a lot... How do we know about it?
Mine was a lot more difficult because what you don't understand is I have to use a mouse and keyboard. So that's quite active on the wrist.
So would you say yours was more challenging than what Lance Stroll had to do drive around Bahrain?
Put it this way, I found it easier driving to the shop than I did typing out an email.
Wow, there you
take
go.
Take from that what you will.
Yeah. All right, Fernando Alonso, well, qualified P10, got into Q3, and then picked up his first points of the season, getting a P9, 2 points for him. Again, a technicality because Max got penalised. But anyway...
Oh, but he would have ended up with 1 point.
Would have been. He still would have got points.
Yeah.
So very, very good weekend for Fernando Alonso in his home race. And... he was going through the pack, wasn't he? He
looked super up for it, I'm not going to lie. And you know, he drove a pretty good race. And he was obviously coming over the radio.
And qualifying, he was really happy in qualifying.
Yeah, but on apparently he was hounding the team during the safety car to ensure that they are allowed to catch up to the pack. Because obviously, Liam Lawson was 10th.
Mm.
And they were catching up. And if they had restarted the race without allowing the back markers to catch up, you know, only 1 point was available for all those boys in that back group, where, you know, we saw, and I know these were already up with the pack, but look, we saw Lewis Hamilton get overtaken by Hülkenberg. So, you know, those guys deserved that opportunity to join up with the pack, as annoying as it was waiting for that car. And yeah, it meant Alonso got P9.
Very, very solid weekend for Alonso, so well done to him. Right, shall we go to Haas? Let's just quickly, you know, a difficult weekend for Haas.
We can brush over Haas. Sorry, Haas fans.
Behrmann got into Q2. He went out in P15. Ocon in P17. Race wasn't any better. Finished P16, P17. Was a bit of a nowhere weekend for Haas. So, one to forget.
Yeah.
And...
I mean, Behrmann had the little... it wasn't really a scuffle. Is that a word? Kerfuffle?
What, with Lawson?
Scuffle?
With Lawson.
With Lawson? Lawson. Yeah, you know, we had that, and it was a good overtake, I thought, from Lawson on Behrmann. And obviously, he just went off track and carried on. But, like you say, I think Haas are another team that we've seen yo-yo a little bit this season. I kind of never know whether they're here or there. But they're a team that, again, understandably, they don't have the same funds as Mercedes, Ferrari. You know, they don't have the same facilities, technology, people. But they're another team that have come into this new era of regulations, not hit the ground running again, and kind of, you know, they've picked up from where they were. So, you know, through this era of car, there's been a good improvement for Haas. But they're going to be looking to 2026 now, because
Haas will have some good races this year, like they have done in the early parts of the year. They will have races where they'll pick up, you know, the odd points here and there.
Yeah.
And, you know, that will see them through to the end of the season in preparation for 2026. Let's brush over Williams, because, again, another... It was a very difficult weekend for them. Carlos Sainz going out in Q1, qualifying P18 in his home race.
His lowest ever.
Lowest ever. Albon getting knocked out in Q2, qualifying P11. Heading into the race, I mean, look, Albon had a collision on lap one, ended up changing his front wing. He then came together again with Liam Lawson. it was a day to forget for Alex Albon, and actually a weekend to forget for Williams in general.
Was there any confirmation? I assumed they retired him because they just run out of front wings.
That's what my initial thought was.
Yeah, I thought, you know, a team like Williams probably actually don't have too many.
Can I ask a question, right? Alex Albon got a 10-second stop-go penalty for that collision, right?
I know what you're going to say.
Okay. So he's the one who had damage to his car with that collision for Lawson.
Right? Can I just say, I think that Albon was wrong in that.
Yeah.
I felt like that was Lawson. Lawson had a few dodgy ones, but that one on Albon was actually good.
100%, yeah, no, I agree with you on that one. What was weird, though, for me is that he's the one who got the damage, so his race was basically over. So that's bad enough as it is. You then get a 10-second stop-go penalty. Fine, he comes in, serves out, goes round again, retires the car. I'm assuming it's because they didn't have any more front wings, or they're kind of like, do you know what?
Fuck this.
Yeah, get on the plane. But then you get someone who deliberately tries to
crash into another driver,
10-second penalty. We'll get onto that shortly. It seems a bit bizarre.
If that was Lewis Hamilton that did what Max Verstappen did, oh my God, before the end of the race, he'd be burnt at the stake. They would have thrown spikes down to pop his tyres, dragged him out of the car and burnt him. Genuinely. The difference of treatment between Lewis and Max, I think, is incredible by the FIA. We didn't get to speak about the penalty in Monaco last week.
No. I mean, that was ridiculous.
That would never, ever happen. I would argue that would never happen to another driver other than Lewis Hamilton. I'll die on that hill.
Lance Stroll's penalty was only one place grid penalty.
He caused a crash.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And there's an argument to be had, well, if that happened to any other driver other than Max Verstappen, would the offender have even got a penalty? I'm sorry. And then today, just for me, took the piss. And I've said all season, like, Max is funny. I know we'll get onto it, but it pissed me off. It did. It wound me up. I'm sorry. That 10-second penalty is not enough for that. And you know, then you get Albon getting a 10-second stop-go penalty for that. Come on. It's his race ruined anyway. He should get a penalty because he shouldn't have turned in on Lawson. Lawson made that corner.
Yeah, yeah.
That dive bomb was great. And he doesn't pull them off often. But he did. And then, you know, Albon ruined his own race by doing that. A 10-second stop-go for that versus 10 seconds for smashing into the side of someone deliberately. Oh,
We also know that there has been further punishment since that, which we'll discuss later on. But, you know, just finishing off on Williams, Carlos Sainz, P14. This weekend was just a very, very tough weekend. And I'm not sure, obviously, we spoke, a couple of races ago, 2-3 races ago, that actually Williams, we thought, were actually even better than Ferrari.
Weird team again.
Yeah, but we're seeing a bit of a yo-yo with Williams now, and I'm expecting that to continue throughout the year, that there'll be teams, races where they're strong and it'll fluctuate in preparation for 2026.
I think what we're seeing is that you've got pretty much McLaren who are sorted, Red Bull that kind of fluctuate a little bit, but you've got Max in the car who's so quick. You've got the Mercedes who are there, the Ferrari who are there but fluctuate a little bit. And then you've got the Williams who are kind of, sometimes they're there with those boys, sometimes they're well off it. Yeah. And it's weird. It's weird, but...
Where do you want to go to next? Alpine?
Yes. So you dropped a video on Colapinto. Can you...
I did drop a video on Colapinto, and I will... So on our TikTok and Instagram, I posted yesterday... day before anyone else concerned for Franco Colapinto, because I went through some stats that actually, since he's come in, his overall position has been about P19, P20. Oh. Okay. So had quite a lot of comments on this.
Unsurprisingly. The Colapinto fans are passionate. We love it.
Yeah.
They're not a fan of criticism.
So one person said, nope, not concerned, just let him do his work. He is not there for five races. He's doing what he needs to do, knowing the car, finishing the races and accumulating kilometres. He's doing okay. Alpine's car isn't competitive.
I'd like to counter that point. Colapinto fans right now at home, what that man has said, would you have said that about Jack Doohan? Doohan, don't know why I said it like that. Would you have said that about Jack Doohan when he was driving the car? Because I think what you likely would have said is, he's not doing well enough. He should be out the car and Franco should be in the car, understandably. But now that Franco has come in, and to be honest, when he came in, we said, we are so happy for him. We want him in the sport.
Yeah.
But he's come in and he's not set on, like, he's not set the world on fire or anything. He's not done any better than Jack Doohan. I'm not suggesting for one second that I think he should lose his seat. That would be preposterous. But we have to acknowledge that I was kind of right.
Well, some people were saying he's overrated. He brings in money, so that'll probably keep him in the seat, even if his performances is on par or worse than Doohan. And I think, you know, look, when I did that video, that wasn't kind of going, oh, you know, Colapinto's rubbish. As we've said before, I want to see Colapinto succeed. And when he came into Williams, he put in some good performances. He crashed. What was the percentage?
It was about 44% of the time.
Nice. But, you know, since he's come in, we know about Imola. It was a very tough weekend for him. One thing we said not to do was crash, and he crashed in, was it practice or qualifying? Qualifying, I think it was. We went into Monaco last week. I think he qualified P20. He was P20 in basically all three practice, and then basically did nothing. Heading into this weekend, qualified P19. Okay, qualified P19 and went into the race today. He finished P15 ahead of the two Hasses. Antonelli and Albon retired. He finished P15.
Stroll obviously didn't
and
start.
And Stroll didn't start. And, you know, a lot of people will say, okay, well, that's not bad. He didn't finish last. His teammate...
It was low-key impossible to finish last.
His teammate finished P8 today.
Yeah.
And I don't know. Colapinto's got a lot of pressure. Is he doing better than Doohan? I would probably say not. I don't think there is much difference between what either of those have done.
No, so far. I would completely agree. And this is not a, you know, it's not a case of, well, you know, if Colapinto's not doing the job, get Doohan back. That's not what we're saying. But I think the idea behind Colapinto was, oh, he's going to come in and he's going to set the world on fire. And I'd always said, I didn't think that was true.
I have to admit, though, I thought he would come in and I thought he would be picking up points by now.
I thought he would do better than Jack Doohan. I'll be totally honest there. I didn't think it was going to be special because my stance hasn't changed. I really, really like Colapinto and I want him to succeed in the sport. And it's such early days. Like, he still absolutely can and most likely will. But you would be worried. I think the only thing here is, there's so much pressure coming into that because he was signed as reserve driver. Basically, everyone knew he was going to get Jack Doohan's seat. And there was sort of the weight of the world on his shoulders. And yeah, that level of expectation is very hard to meet. All I would say is he's not even been all right. He's under-delivered so far.
And may I just say, I know he qualified P19, but I know he had the issue with the car, so he couldn't actually do a final lap in Q1 yesterday. So I know that, and I know some of you will probably go, well, actually, how can you say that? He might have gotten into Q2, and he might well have got into Q2. We won't know, but...
I mean, I might have got into Q2 if I had a car.
Unlikely.
You never know. But, like, what ifs are pointless, do you know what I mean? Like, he wasn't there. He didn't. He got P19. He only made up two places net in the race. And yeah, I just want to start seeing more from him. You know, I want to see this exciting Colapinto that people talk about. I want to see this driver that is going wheel to wheel with people. Like he did at Williams. I'll give him that. Like, he raced people there. But yeah, we need to see a bit more from him. And I think even genuinely, like, Colapinto fans will sit here and say, I agree. We need, you know, we come on here every week as Lewis Hamilton fans and say, we need to see more from Lewis Hamilton. Or we want to see more. And it's the same with Colapinto. We should be able to sit here and say, he needs to be doing better.
No, agree. Do let us know. Is the writing on the wall for Colapinto, or will he turn us around? Do let us know. RBs, look. What do you say about Isaac Hadjar? Already, right, saying it now, 9 races in, my rookie of the season.
Oh,
and I don't care what happens in the rest of the season, he's my rookie of the season. That's it.
100%.
Got into Q3 once again, qualifying P9, Liam Lawson, P13. You know, and then head into the race today. And Hadjar, in some sense, was kind of in a race of his own. Once he got over the, probably the first pit stop, he was kind of just on his own. There's not really anyone who's challenging him. But he just looked class. You know, P7 for him today, 6 more points. He has got more points than Yuki and Liam Lawson combined.
Correct. Yeah. I mean, he's been like a silent assassin. He's just been going around, doing his business, not really making any waves in the sense of, you know, like, he's not been disturbing anything. He's just very quietly been going around picking up points. And yeah, I mean, out of all the Red Bull drivers, he's having the second best season.
Mm.
So
I really hope Red Bull
don't take him,
please.
Don't ruin his career, please.
Do you know what? Any other team, take him.
Let him replace Lewis at Ferrari eventually.
Well, okay.
No, eventually.
Oh, eventually. Okay, yeah.
Yeah, when Lewis decides to hang the helmet up. I don't know what the saying is. You know, let Hadjar take that. Don't put him in that Red Bull seat. Because you know what will happen. He'll start driving like he's got no legs. He won't be able to press the accelerator. So
he won't go anywhere.
I just don't want his career to be butchered. We'd like to protect him at all costs, if that's possible. Great guy, quality personality, seems like a laugh. But you've seen all the TikToks, mate, he's class in them. Mm. He obviously got to watch his team win the Champions League this weekend. Then he goes and picks up a P7 at the Barcelona Grand Prix. Just let him live his life and just don't ruin him by putting him in that second seat of Red Bull next season.
He's a special talent. He's a really special talent. And there's not many drivers that have come in recently who I look at and I'm kind of going, yeah, you've got a bit about you. Like he's not afraid to challenge. His pace is good.
When you look at the fact that I was having this conversation with Glenn yesterday about generational talents, right? This will upset some people. That's fine. Kimi Antonelli, in my opinion, not a generational talent, right? For me, a generational talent comes into the sport and they put the car somewhere where it shouldn't be. Max Verstappen in the Toro Rosso. You know, Lewis Hamilton came in, had it a little bit easier in the sense that he had a race-winning car, but he went head-to-head with Fernando Alonso. You know, I'd argue Charles Leclerc at Alfa Romeo did a great job. I'm not seeing that from Kimi Antonelli. Kimi is younger. Not than Max, by the way. Max was young when he came in the sport, 17 when he came into the sport. But Isaac Hadjar is someone that I'm looking and thinking, wow, actually, you're in an RB which has no chance of ever competing with the boys out front, right? Take that thought out of your head. You know, now, in this, moving into this new era, that is not going to happen. But he is constantly at the front of the rest.
Yeah. And, you know, one more lap today, he would have easily got Hamilton.
100%.
Yeah. But no, really, really impressed with Hadjar. Lawson, again, missing out on points today, being outperformed by Isaac Hadjar. And look, Liam Lawson, we've had our opinions. I cannot see him turning this around and coming back at Hadjar. Hadjar just seems in a league of his own when between those two.
Yeah, I mean, look, I said this about Lawson. It's difficult because he's had his season very disrupted, and
Yeah, but that was 7 races ago.
no, not.
He's had enough time now to gel into this RB team.
I completely agree, but I think there's a lot to be said for getting your dream move to Red Bull alongside world champion Max Verstappen, you know, in a title winning car, and you lose your seat after 2 races. I can't begin to imagine what that does to someone's confidence, their general demeanor, their ability to sleep at night, their ability to go about a day without any like feeling of anxiety or like it must be absolutely sitting with him. And I'm not, look, ultimately it's elite sport. Sadly, those excuses will not wash, and he is going to have to start getting a little bit quicker. All I think of when we talk about Lawson, I just think how hard it must be for him.
No, I agree. I agree.
It's not an excuse necessarily for, you know, it's not an excuse that's going to save his job or anything at come the end of the season, but it's something that I always think about.
No, and you completely fair point. He's just got to turn it down. He's got to turn it around very quick because.
Yeah, the thing is, you can't wallow. He's not allowed to basically be affected by it
Because
because
if you're Red Bull and you're looking at Liam Lawson, okay, you've decided he's not good enough to be the second driver in your seat. He then goes to you then think to yourself, go to RB, prove yourself there, and who knows what happened in the future. He's gone there and he's been outperformed by Isaac Hadjar. When Red Bull look back at this come the end of the season, they're going to be going, well, actually, he's had two opportunities in both our seats and he hasn't delivered in
yeah,
either.
it's whether they look at him like a Pierre Gasly, where they kind of just allowed Pierre Gasly to sit in the team and perform. The difference with Pierre Gasly and Liam Lawson is Gasly was always the stronger driver.
And Lawson isn't. No. Do let us know what your thoughts are on RB. Right. Let's touch on Mercedes quickly.
Rough weekend.
Rough weekend for them. So we say rough weekend. Russell, P4, Antonelli, P6 in qualifying.
That's not
Russell,
so bad.
no, it's not. But race wise, it was tough. I know George Russell picked up a P4, which I think on hindsight, from even George said, is probably the best that they could have got this weekend.
Yeah.
Antonelli again, 2 races out of three now. Obviously, we had it at Imola. He had a engine failure today. Is weird, wasn't it? He was just driving straight, and then his engine just
Yeah,
went.
like engine just failed.
So
Mercedes had, they should be really concerned about that, by the way.
it's weird. It's always Antonelli.
Is this a conspiracy
No,
theory?
I'm wondering if it's a way his driving style, which is leading to,
Perhaps.
or is set up. I wasn't saying there's a conspiracy, but what I mean is,
He's got his tinfoil hat on.
no, you know what I mean. It's kind of, is it sp something specific within their driving style which is causing
Yeah, I mean,
these issues with the car? I don't know. I'm mainly speculating. I'm not an expert.
It's an interesting point. Well, yeah, we've never claimed to be experts. If you're here for the experts, you are in the wrong
Wrong
place.
place. We'll touch on Russell in a bit when we get to Red Bull. But yeah, tough weekend for
Well,
Mercedes.
we could combine Red Bull and Mercedes since we're gonna go there. We've got to
Let's,
fucking go
okay,
there.
right. You want to go to Red Bull? Right. So I actually also did another video because obviously Luke.
See, who's really the influencer here?
Well, who does work for the channel on here?
That's it. What? I edit this video that you're watching, this podcast that you're listening to, I upload those.
Yep. So, yep.
Did
Well
you see a thumbnail when you
done.
clicked on this video?
Yep, he did that as well.
I made that.
So he does all of his work on a Monday, and then you don't see him for the rest of the week because I do the editing
Well,
of the
I'm
clips.
busy going through the data, so I can come to this all prepared.
He's too busy trying to get like loads of like events for
Well,
himself.
hopefully I'll be busy at a McLaren F1 event soon.
Yeah, I hope you enjoy yourself. Right, so Red Bull. I did a video the other day on Yuki Tsunoda, and look, I was always worried that Yuki would go to that Red Bull seat and disappear as such, because that second Red Bull seat is cursed, and I stand by it, and we're still seeing it now. And when Yuki Tsunoda qualified in P20 yesterday in the Spanish Grand Prix, it showed once again it's cursed. No one can drive that second Red Bull seat.
Sergio Perez could.
I mean, Sergio did all right, but you've got...
Does it make you think? It might have been a bit too harsh on him.
No,
realistically, go back. Who? You've got Tsunoda, Lawson, Gasly, Albon, Kvyat. Oh, no, because he didn't race next to Max. Oh, yeah, Ricciardo. Other than Ricciardo, but like Albon, Gasly, Lawson, Tsunoda. Perez is better than all of those.
Perez?
But that's funny. I saw you messaged in the chat saying Tsunoda's crap or something the other day. I didn't.
No, I didn't.
Nah, right. I'm pulling up the receipts. No, don't backtrack now. You said something, and I was thinking, hang on, you've been banging on about how good he is.
Did I say that? Well, I may have said because he's crap because he got knocked out of P20.
But, so is it the car or is it Tsunoda? Okay, you said Tsunoda is so bad.
Yeah. I was stating the facts, wasn't I? He qualified P20.
Wait, is it Tsunoda that's bad or is it the car that's cursed?
Okay, it's the car that's cursed. I take that back. Sorry, Tsunoda. Right, it's the car. It's the car. The car is bad.
There has to be someone out there who can explain why Max Verstappen is able to take that car to the forefront of a championship battle and everyone else can't seem to get it out of P20.
Do you know what? Right, in life, there's some like really unanswered questions, some really big topics which people cannot quite understand. And our biggest, what we want to understand the most is why can no one drive that second Red Bull seat?
Yeah, but this is up there with confusing. Like, what is the meaning of life? How did we all get here? Like, why is the sky blue? Why the fuck can Max Verstappen be in a championship battle, but no one else can seem to get this car higher than P17? I don't understand it. I know Max is good. He's unbelievable. There's no way he's that good.
Sure, do Red Bull just build this car all around Max? Yeah, is this what it is?
Are you telling me if you take Max Verstappen out of that team and put, I don't know, if you had Liam Lawson and Yuki Tsunoda, right, as the two Red Bull drivers,
they would have no points.
They would be the worst team on the grid, which is unbelievable to me. I don't. That's a fact as well, because they'd have no points.
Yeah. No, it's mad. If anyone actually knows the real answer on why Yuki Tsunoda or any other driver cannot drive that second Red Bull seat, please let us know, because it's probably one of the most like frustrating unanswered questions in life.
Well, because it's even like Red Bull don't get it.
No.
I don't think anyone knows.
So Tsunoda qualified P20. He ended up finishing P13. I mean, yeah.
Look, the thing is, I'm not going to give him credit for that.
No.
You know, it's just not good enough for a Red Bull second driver.
No.
I'm sorry, it's just not.
Let's touch on Max.
And
okay?
I love Yuki, by the way.
We both love Yuki, and I want to see him do well. And it pains me to see him struggling like this. It really does. Let's touch on Max, because, look, qualified P3. He puts that car in places it probably shouldn't be. He takes it to the next level. Yes, true. Race-wise today, look, I thought he actually had a very good race up until the safety car. I thought the three-stop strategy was something different. They actually looked relatively quick. And
they had to do something different. So I admired it from Red Bull because, let's be honest, we knew they weren't going to win that race. Once he got overtaken by Lando, we knew Max wasn't going to get any higher than P3 without trying something different. And, you know, we can go back to the Mercedes masterclass at Barcelona. Mm-hmm. We know that if you pull off a strategy right, you can win a race with it. Yeah. So I respected it from them.
And I think, you know, P3 was definitely on the cards if before the safety car. However, safety car happened. Kimi obviously retired. And look, there's two ways of looking at it. Max was on the softs. The only tyre he had left was to put on was the hards. And there were the new hards. There's two options here. You either keep Max out in front, he leads a race, and you just hope that maybe, okay, worst case scenario, you finish P3, P4, whatever. Mm-hmm. Or you bring him in, put him on fresh hards, mm-hmm. where no one else is on hards at all. They're all on mediums or softs. And you just hope that he finishes P3 or P4. My initial thought process was like, actually, look, there's 6 laps to go. Just leave him on softs. What have you got to lose here? He's on a better tyre in some sense. But then, you know, on the other hand...
The hards were pretty crazy, I'll be honest. But I get it. They didn't have an alternative. And it is difficult because, you're either a sitting duck or you're a sitting duck.
Yeah. But, you know, and so that was a decision in that sense. And Max was livid with it because he was like, what is on my car?
Yeah.
Like, what are these? They're hards, Max. Why are they on my car? Because we don't have any other tyres. Okay, cool. And so the safety car restart happened. He went on a dirty line. He superb save, by the way.
I mean, I think he was just... he just couldn't get those tyres up to temp. I just think they were like driving on icicles.
But a hell of a save. Because yeah. It looked...
Oh, incredible. It looked sick.
And then Charles Leclerc had the benefit from that mistake. Went up inside him. And initially, my thought process was Max Verstappen has come over. However, Anthony Davidson, and I have to say, Anthony Davidson, I really like your analysis on Sky. I actually think you're pretty decent.
Tell him he's listening.
Anthony, I rate you, okay? But it was actually Charles Leclerc who went over into Max.
To me, it looked like that. I didn't watch post-analysis because I had to go to my parents for dinner. But to me, at the time, even when Nico Rosberg was saying that's Max's fault, I was thinking, I don't really think it is, to be honest. I don't think Charles had got far enough alongside him to, you know, move in front of him. What's Max supposed to do? Max didn't move. No. And they're on a straight road, which is very wide. Charles could have just not come over to the left. Yeah. Like, he could have just carried on going straight.
Well, Charles did say that it was kind of his fault anyway.
Yeah.
And, you know, luckily they didn't, nothing major came from that. But Charles was always going to get that. So Max, that was the start of Max's...
He didn't have to give the position back though, like Max was crying about.
No.
Like,
it was just literally coming together.
That was a bit of a desperate attempt by Max.
And that was the start of the Max Verstappen...
Oh, his head loss.
Head loss.
He has a head loss. That's one thing I've always said about Max.
Yep.
It's one thing everyone's always said about Max. But my God, that guy has a head loss. And George Russell summed it up perfectly at Abu Dhabi last year when he came out and said about, you know, he can't handle it on track. And to some extent, that is true. Oh my God, if the chips are down and things are going against him.
And then we get into turn one. George Russell had every right there to go for the overtake. He was ahead of the apex. He had everything right. The difficulty was he had a snap of oversteer. That snap of oversteer meant that it went out of position, and it meant that Max Verstappen had to be pushed wide.
I mean, the oversteer was likely caused by the fact that he was carrying a bit too much speed into the corner.
Yeah, granted.
Don't get me wrong. George should have gone for that, but it then was his fault. Going into Max. So
Max had no... He wasn't pushing him. He wasn't closing him in. And he had to take avoiding action and go off. And, you know, unfortunately, the team then come over and said, you know, you've got to give the place back. And rightly so, Max Verstappen...
That was a stupid call.
It was a very stupid call. Because that decision there led to the events leading afterwards. And I know some people will say, well, Max Verstappen led to those. He didn't have to do what he did. Granted, you're completely right. But there's a lot of factors that lead up to that. Putting him on hard tyres, losing it almost along the main straight, losing the position to Charles Leclerc and having a bit of coming together. Len being pushed wide by George Russell.
Len. Oh.
Len being pushed wide.
Oh, I thought you said Len was pushed wide.
No, Len was pushed wide. And then he gets told he had to give up the position. So all of these factors there, I mean, look, I'm not defending Max Verstappen here, but you can kind of understand why his head was going to be lost.
I understand him being annoyed, but I think what he did to George Russell
is inexcusable.
Inexcusable.
100%. What did you think? Because Nico Rosberg came out afterwards, well, actually during the race, and said he should be disqualified. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I mean, I kind of agree. I think if you not tolerating that behaviour with a 10-second penalty sets a precedent. And look, it didn't change anyone's race. Okay, yeah. That's fine. But what it essentially says to drivers is, oh, if you get annoyed and you get frustrated, you're allowed to drive into other people. That's what it says, right? Plain and simply, you can't argue that. And I think that's why it's really bad. A 10-second penalty, right? We've all been angry before. Everyone sitting watching this podcast, us two here, everyone listening to it, you've all been angry before where in that moment you see red and self-sabotage. You don't care. You know, I'm sure you've had it playing FIFA at home. Something happens, you smash your controller up. You know the only person that affects is you, right? No one else. The guy that has just scored a sweaty goal in the 95th minute is not suffering from the fact that you smashed up your £50 controller, right? That is exactly what Max Verstappen was doing, right? Granted, he could have taken George out in this scenario, but the only person truly that was going to get hurt by that was Max, because it was going to lead to a penalty, or it was going to lead to a disqualification, or maybe even further punishment beyond that. But when drivers see red mist, you've now told them that you're only going to get a 10-second penalty. Mm. It's the car equivalent of punching someone in the face.
Yeah. And I think this was the perfect opportunity for the FIA to nip this type of stuff in.
Yeah, but again, they bitched out. And this is what I'm saying. I don't care what people say. If Lewis Hamilton did something like that, holy hell, you would not hear the end of it. Mm. My God. And, but you know, Lewis Hamilton barely blocks Max Verstappen in Monaco. 3-place grid penalty. I know it's a qualifying, not a race, but whatever. A 10-second penalty for purposely driving into another driver, which we know was out of anger.
And Max did not deny it either, because he got asked the question, you know, was it intentional?
What do you think?
Refused
to talk about it. And look, if that's the precedent that we're going to set, great. That is not for me.
Well, he's been handed three penalty points for his collision today.
Oh, and how is he going to sleep tonight? Well, did they not think about that?
Interestingly, though, he is now a single point away from a race ban.
Well, I'm sure that they expire in like 3 races or something.
Probably. But he...
Do you know what? People have had 3 points put on their super license for much lesser offences.
Yeah. Also, it was said that the FIA wouldn't have penalised him. He wouldn't if he hadn't given the place back to George.
Yeah.
So it all ended up bad for Red Bull anyway, which is weird.
That was obvious because nothing happened.
No, which is weird because we normally praise Red Bull for their strategy and. But today, there's certain aspects which I think they just got it plain wrong. Which is fine. You can have those. That happens, you know. But yeah, Max, I felt like today was a perfect opportunity for the FIA to make a stance on this and actually really go, do you know what? We will not tolerate this. But like you say, they've now given out a 10-second penalty, 3 points, and it's kind of indicating, yeah, it's actually all right.
Yeah. Because what precedent does this set for Oscar and Lando going into final race of the season? Mm. They're neck and neck, right? We said this about Max in 2021 and Lewis. You hadn't been strict enough, so you set a precedent. You've done it again. Mm. Lando is leading the championship, and he's about to be overtaken by Piastri, right? Whoever finishes ahead wins the championship. Well, if I'm Lando, I'm thinking, well, if I just crash into him, I'll get a 10-second penalty. But if I do it enough so he's out of the race, because this is the thing, right? What are you basing the punishment on? Is it the consequence to the other driver? You know, is it that, oh, well, we'll just give him a 10-second because it didn't affect George's race? We should be giving punishments based on the action of the driver who committed the offence.
Yeah.
You know, you don't... I know this is different because Max hasn't broken the law, right? But let's put it into legal terms, right? You don't... If you arrest a drink driver, you don't say, oh, well, it's all right, you didn't hit anyone, so just go home, here are your keys. You arrest them because of the action, not the fact that there was a consequence. And I think that's what they've done here. They've basically looked at the fact that his actions didn't really lead to anything. Therefore, we just give him a slap on the wrist. Mm. To me, it's a horrible precedent set.
No, I agree.
And I'm not going to take any abuse from Max Verstappen fans because I've sat here for the last 3 years and praised him.
I think it's interesting because they were talking afterwards, you know, this type of stuff has been happening for years. You saw that Michael Schumacher, Damon Hill in the championship battle, Senna, Prost, you know, all, you know, you've seen these over the years.
Max Lewis.
It's a tough one. And I just feel like for Max Verstappen, it was just unnecessary. He lost a lot of points. And even though he said afterwards, well, I'm not in a championship battle anyway,
you are.
And
you're the quickest man on the grid. You're the fastest driver at this point in time in the entire world. You are in a world championship battle.
And it just lets, whether he cares or not, it just lets him down because he's a phenomenal driver, the best on the grid. And this type of stuff he will be remembered for rather than his greatness of driving. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, you don't want to be tarnished to, you know, leave a legacy of being a dirty driver. And everyone will always remember Max when he eventually retires as one of the best to ever grace the track. But
it'll always be a bit tarnished.
They
with
will always
his...
say, like, yeah, but he was a bit of a cock sometimes.
Yeah. I don't know. Do let us know what your thoughts are on the incident. Right, let's quickly go through Ferrari and then we got McLaren. I mean, look,
we can skip Lewis.
Let's skip Lewis. Charles Leclerc qualified in P7, which turns out that actually he sacrificed his qualifying for race because he saved another set of soft tyres. Mm-hmm. So his qualifying was kind of tarnished a bit in preparation for the race. Lewis Hamilton qualified P5. Race day, look, good start from Lewis.
Well, bad start that then turned out to be a good start.
Yes. So, good start overall.
Good and bad.
Good and bad. Bad and good. And then it just went downhill. Charles Leclerc overtook him and just went off into the distance. Lewis was nowhere to be seen. They pitted him, in his words, too early. But he was just nowhere. He was literally nowhere, and he was interviewed after, and you want to talk about a tough watch? Go and watch that interview afterwards.
I did see it.
You see it?
Short one, 45 seconds.
Yeah, it was a very tough watch because this type of Lewis Hamilton is just blaming himself.
Yep.
And it's a bit of a worry as Lewis fans because you're seeing this and it's kind of like, well, it can't just all be you. But he's basically just blaming himself for these performances.
It's whether or not he's at a point where he had a good car for so long that he's no longer able to, you know, deal with a not so good car.
Yeah.
I still think we're not going to see the true Lewis Hamilton until he's in a good car. He's not a spring chicken, do you know what I mean? He's not one of these young boys. But it's a tough watch, and it's difficult to watch him sit there and blame himself. But I don't know what to think, you know, because as a fan, you always want to believe. Like, I would still sit here and argue to the death that I think Lewis is the best driver. But whether that's arguing with my head or not, like, probably not. But I'm still going to sit here and believe that he is. And when he says stuff like that, you think, don't say that. Like, you can't believe in you. How the fuck am I supposed to?
Yeah. No, it's difficult. It's difficult to watch at the moment. And look, these era of cars have not been kind to Lewis. He's had moments of magic, but he's also had a lot of difficult times within this era of cars. And I think what will be really interesting is 2026. If 2026 we go into another season of Lewis not performing, then
I think we'll likely see his last season in F1, if that is the case.
No, I agree. Do let us know what your thoughts are on Lewis Hamilton. Charles Leclerc, though, look, another podium.
Yeah, very solid. You know, Charles has obviously been the stronger Ferrari driver this season. It's typically that way with Charles, although, you know, Carlos is very equal to him. Yeah, you know,
good drive.
Yeah, just solid. You know, he picked up a podium. He's not going to be challenging the McLarens. That car's nowhere near it. But
he's best of the rest at this moment in time.
When he needs to be there, he's there.
Yeah, no. Do let us know what your thoughts are on Ferrari. So let's get into McLaren. Right, Luke. I want to ask you a question.
Yeah.
So you've always said Oscar is the most composed driver. Lando Norris is a quicker driver. Today, you saw, or this weekend, Oscar Piastri, the more composed driver, and the faster driver.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts now? Because we're 9 races in. Oscar Piastri has won, 5 races now?
It's getting to that point where I'm starting to hit the crossover point. And I'm not going to lie, I still put it down to mentality. Let's look at qualifying yesterday. That lap when Lando needed it most didn't come.
No.
And then also out of nowhere, Oscar then puts 2 tenths on the grid. And
the biggest gap in qualifying this season.
Yeah, for pole. It's getting harder for me to argue this point. Look, I think what I will say flat out is McLaren are in the best position because I came into this season saying that Ferrari have the strongest lineup. I'm going to now change that statement and say McLaren have the strongest lineup. I think they have, you know, between them, the strongest partnership in the sport, and they are going to win the Constructors' Championship. I don't think we're going to see Oscar walk away with this championship.
No, I think it'd be tight.
We will see more from Lando. But yeah, at this point, Oscar's head is like, you even hear him on the radio, like he never sounds like out of breath or anything. He's coming back with like relaxed, calm responses. It's very like short and to the point. He's succinct. He drives so efficiently.
That's pole position, Oscar. Cool, thanks.
If Oscar Piastri wins the world championship, I will be delighted.
I like Oscar, and you know my view. You know, I've been saying now, I personally feel Piastri will be better than Lando Norris. I've said that last year before. You've mocked me.
Heavily.
Yep. But I've always believed that would be the case because I think he's just getting better and better. And, you know, Oscar Piastri becomes the 3rd McLaren driver to score 8 consecutive podium finishes. Who are the other 2 drivers?
Lewis Hamilton.
Yep.
Mika Hakkinen.
Nope.
Oh, Alonso?
Nope.
Button?
Nope.
McLaren drivers.
You're gonna just sound really stupid now.
Oh, Lando?
No, come on now.
Am I being an idiot?
Yes. Ayrton Senna.
Oh yeah. Whoops.
You know that.
Who's that?
Yeah, the legend. But when you're looking at the head to head this year, right? So Piastri has out qualified Norris 5-4. I'm only giving
they're level pegging, yeah. Basically
5 race wins to Norris's 2.
Yeah,
10 points difference in the championship,
but that's not a lot considering Oscar's won 5 races, Lando's won 2.
But you've got to remember though, okay, So Lando won Monaco last week. Great. Very good lap on the Saturday. It was a bit of a parade on the Sunday, okay? Monaco is one of those difficult ones. And this is why I do think Monaco kind of ruins that in some sense, because it's not proper racing. In the sense of there's no overtaking, nothing really happens.
It's just a scare electrics, isn't it?
And I said last week on one of the videos that actually it'd be interesting to see if Lando can continue that momentum into this week. Because if Lando won this week, I would actually be going, okay, now we've got a bit of competitor. Mm-hmm. But Lando Norris once again came out of qualifying yesterday going, I didn't get pole because I made mistakes. Okay. He's getting better, granted. But he's still making these same mistakes, which is costing him week in, week out. Oscar Piastri does not do that. And what? That is a difference between these two. Absolutely.
And look, what I will say is I think they're both very, 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 very close on pace.
Yeah.
On raw pace, I still have Lando just pipping him. But
I feel that's starting to turn.
Well, I think a lot of the time what you see is because Oscar is able to put the quali lap in.
Yeah.
And even, you know, during the race, he's got the temperament. Those mistakes cost you. If Lando Norris started P1 today, he would have won the race. I think clean air was the difference here.
Yeah, okay, clean air was the difference, but I think
because they're too close to each other, in my opinion, in terms of pace, that they can just match each other. So I think if Lando started P1, he would have won. Oscar starts P1, he wins.
Yeah, I don't know.
I think qualifying is going to start becoming really, really, really important for these McLaren boys. And your money all day long is going to be on Oscar Piastri at this point because he's programmed like a robot, which is not an insult. All right, it's a compliment.
Answer me this, Senek. You say if Lando started in a pole today, he would have gone on to win. If he started on pole, I still think he would have lost a position into turn one.
If you lose it to Max Verstappen, I don't think that matters in this race.
No. That start from Oscar today was superb. He was comfortable.
And it's all a tricky place to start P1 as well.
All throughout the commentary today, you heard, okay, Lando's starting to make a dent in Oscar's in timing. He's starting to catch him. Oscar was managing.
No, but this is my point. This is where I think they're just able to match each other. I think they're both pretty much as quick as each other.
Yeah.
But if I had to put my money on one of them on a day that had zero pressure on, it was just they were able to race, pure pace, I think Lando would just pip it. But there's way more to it than that.
So what does Oscar have to do? Because he's won 5 races this season.
That's such a small sample size.
We've
seen Lando be really quick for many years in a car that has not been
great. And what's he done? Great.
No, but that doesn't mean he hasn't been quick.
Yeah, you can be quick, but the difference is Oscar is quick. He's just more composed.
Well, yeah, but that's my point.
Yeah.
But I think Lando has proven himself enough to be considered a marginally quicker driver. Yeah, you might disagree, and I'm not saying like, oh my god, Lando is so quite clearly the quickest. I can understand the other argument, but I still think it's less down to pace. I think they're so closely matched in pace. McLaren have this partnership that is like a dream partnership because you've got two drivers that are so, so competent. Mm. But you've got one driver that's just got a level up on mentality. And that is probably what is going to make Oscar Piastri the world champion. Mm. And that's not... It's not like I'll be saying, oh, well, he wasn't the quickest driver, therefore... Because if he wins the world championship, he was the quickest driver. Mm. But mentality comes into that.
Yeah, I don't know. For me, you know my opinion.
I said after a few races back, I think it was after Imola, I said, give it a few races and I probably will start shifting my opinion on that.
Yeah. No, do let us know what your thoughts are. Are you still Team Lando? Do you think he's going to go on and win a championship? I know it's 10 points and 10 points is not much at all.
The tide can turn in a single race.
Yeah, 100%.
Remember that.
100%. But I think that is... Oh, I actually have fan questions.
Do you?
Yeah.
No way. Every week at the end of every episode.
No way.
We answer your questions from fans, apparently, as Matt calls them.
Well, not fans, but, you know, as Luke's an influencer now, it's his fans.
We post these on our Instagram, which is at BoxBoxPod. You can get involved and send in your questions. Or if you just want to watch shorter clips of the podcast, you can also do that.
This one's a good question. Did Ferrari hire 44, Lewis Hamilton, for his legacy or to actually win? They are not 100% setting him to win.
I genuinely, when he signed, thought it was to win.
Mm.
I think that if they want him to win, and it's very difficult at this point because Charles Leclerc is a very, very established driver. Lewis Hamilton is showing signs that he may be tailing off a little bit. But if you want him to win, you have to build a car for him for 2026.
Okay, answer me
this. I'm not saying they should do that. I'm just saying that's what you need to do.
Answer me this. Carlos Sainz was still in that Ferrari. Mm-hmm. Would he be doing a better job than Lewis Hamilton this year?
I think marginally. A marginally better job. Mm. I don't think he'd be doing that much better on points. Charles isn't doing that much better on points. You know, I know there's more to it than points because there's the gap between them. But like I say, I think this is about, if they're serious about Lewis and they have brought him in to win a championship or attempt to win a championship, you have to build the car around him for next season. Otherwise, it is just for legacy.
No. Do let us know. Who's your driver of the day today? The way Oscar just keeps so level-headed is amazing for me. Well, I did a video on this, and it will go out tomorrow morning and before this podcast. Honourable mentions for me, Isaac Hadjar, Oscar Piastri.
Hulk.
Hulkenberg. No, hang on.
Oh, he's Charles your Leclerc. Driver of the day. Then.
My driver of the day is Hulkenberg. Yeah. I think if you can put that stake, right, in a P5... take away 10 points, which in theory is arguably the worst car on the grid. In theory.
Definitely. The worst car on the grid.
To walk away with 10 points in a P5, you've got to be classed as driver of the day.
Yeah.
Although Max Verstappen did get voted driver of the day on Sky.
Criminal of the day. I concur. I think... Hulk was driver of the day.
A lot of these other questions are kind of stuff which we've already answered already about things. Do you agree with Nico Rosberg that Verstappen should have been black flagged? We've spoken about stuff like that.
Yes.
Can I just say, Nico Rosberg this weekend, I love him. I think it brings such a refreshing aspect to commentary and his opinions and... I know some people like him, some people don't. I just thought he was brilliant this weekend.
I don't understand how people don't like him on comms.
Mm.
You can not like him from when he was racing Lewis.
He gives such in-depth analysis.
He's an unbelievable pundit. It's, you know, a commentator. It's, I think we should honestly, like, pinch ourselves when we have him because we're so lucky to have someone... like Nico Rosberg sort of giving us all this inside information when we're watching it's to me it's a privilege
because even the details of kind of what they're feeling in the car, what their preparation is, what they'll be going through,
he knows like certain things on the steering wheel that are popping, like I think it's just everything. And like even, you know, like after as the safety car was ending and he's saying, you know, like, oh, they'll be shifting their brake balances back to like optimal level, they'll be doing this. Just all those little things that you don't... They're just little nuggets of information. But he just gets it, obviously. You know, he's a world champion. He drove for a very long time in F1.
Yeah.
Very experienced driver. Ended his career at the top. And I don't understand how anyone doesn't like him.
No, I find it refreshing. I like having him on. I think he's just brilliant. Do let us know what your thoughts are on Nico Rosberg. Right, that is the end of the podcast. We'll be back next week previewing Canada. Do check us out on all social media, TikTok, Instagram. Check out Luke. As I said, he's now an influencer. You know,
it's true.
I might have a selfie with him later, you know.
You won't.
Okay, I won't. But yeah, hopefully you've enjoyed this podcast. Do get involved. Do let us know what your thoughts are. And we'll be back next week for a brand new episode. Bye-bye.